Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Shahani, you can hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. First, thanks for joining me today to talk about Baylor football. You cover the Big 12 for Big 12 Diehards and have previously covered Baylor for the Dallas Morning News as well as some other sources.
Yeah, correct.
So are you a Baylor – did you just get – to cover Baylor, or are you actually a Baylor alumni or former student?
Yeah, so I'm actually an alumni. So I actually covered the team for, you know, I did school newspaper stuff, and then I did a, then I was kind of like their college blogger for the Morning News for a couple of years. So I actually graduated from there in 2016, worked last year for SEC Country covering the SEC at large, and then when we launched Die Hard this year, they moved me over to being sort of a general assignment writer for the Big 12. And so I still do lots of Baylor stuff.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about the offense. That's what Baylor's always been known for, and despite the coaching change, they're still putting up a good number of points. How has Baylor looked since they've switched from a new Solomon at quarterback over to Zach Smith?
Well, I think the thing that Smith really gives him that Solomon did not was he's a much more explosive passer. He has a big arm. I think he's gotten a chance to show that against Oklahoma. He showed that a little bit against Kansas State. And Baylor's really feasted on the big passing play this season. I think that they have, you know, I mean, they have tons and tons of 60 and 70-yard touchdowns. I think that Denzel Mims alone has, I think, 4 60-plus yard plays, and I think all of them are for touchdowns. So Smith is much more of an explosive passer. The thing that he doesn't bring is that Solomon was able to run the ball with a little bit more consistency, and Baylor's offensive line has been pretty inconsistent this year, which has probably been their biggest issue. And so not having that running threat from the quarterback position has hurt them a little bit in the run game, where they've really struggled against almost every team this season. But Smith, again, he's able to locate his receivers better. He has a much bigger arm, and he's able to make some of those explosive plays that maybe Solomon wasn't able to make.
Looking at the stats for both of them, they both played. Solomon started, what, 2 games? Smith started 3?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Solomon had 4 TDs and 2 interceptions, whereas Smith has had 8 touchdowns, but he's had 5 picks. Would you
right.
say Smith is, while a better arm, a little more of a liability than Solomon was?
Yeah, I'd say so. I will say that one of the interceptions did come in week 1 on a Hail Mary throw where he was just thrown in at the end to throw a Hail Mary. So, you know, that one's a little bit misleading. But he definitely does turn the ball over a little bit more. Solomon was more of a game manager. And actually, Matt Rhule did say that one of the reasons that they didn't start Zach Smith to start the year was because I believe he had thrown an interception in every game that he had played last season. And they felt like holding onto the ball was more of a premium this season. But when it comes to just the offense, and, you know, it was struggling really early on, especially, you know, against UTSA, they only scored 10 points. Next week against Duke, they were a little better with Zach Smith at the helm, but they really just needed sort of that big playability, you know, the fact that you have to respect the entire field when Zach Smith is on the field, where you didn't with Solomon. So yeah, he definitely is more likely to turn the ball over. He's been a little bit better about that the past couple of weeks, but that's definitely still a concern with Smith versus, you know, when Solomon was starting.
Looking at the wide receivers, I would say Denzel Mims so far has been maybe the go-to.
Yeah.
So what makes him so special?
Yeah, well, so Mims was part of Baylor's 2016 recruiting class. So, you know, a couple of guys left, obviously Devin Duvernay is at Texas now. Trendavion Dixon is kind of out of football right now. But Mims is, he was an unknown when he committed back in 2015 out of Dangerfield in East Texas. He was a track star in high school. I think won the 200-meter and I want to say the 3A level in Texas. So really fast kid, you know, really explosive, but he's also surprisingly big. And the biggest change that I've seen this year, because he played a little bit last season, is just his body control. I mean, his hands have really improved. And even since just the first 2 games of the year, since Smith has come in, you know, Mims has been incredibly impressive. Against Oklahoma, he posted 192 yards and 3 touchdowns, including a couple of just absolutely spectacular catches. At this point, he has 7 receiving touchdowns, which is like second or third in the nation right now. And so, yeah, Mims has definitely been the go-to guy. Now, Baylor lost its one upperclassman receiver, Chris Platt, to a torn ACL. So more has been put on him, especially the last game, because he went out against Platt went out against Oklahoma. So, yeah, Mims is definitely the go-to guy, and they're really kind of trying to find a second and third guy to go alongside him. But Mims has really stepped into that starring role, and, I mean, I think he's as talented as, you know, I won't say any receiver in the Big 12, because obviously I know you guys have James Washington, and he's a pretty special player, but, you know, he's sort of in that next tier.
You mentioned Solomon. With Solomon not starting, it's kind of hurt the run game. What would you say the run game problems are with Baylor's run game?
Yeah, it's offensive line. I mean, they've been really, really inconsistent on the offensive line. They've actually been shifting several of their players. So they've had three guys who have started consistently. That's Mo Porter at left tackle. He's been pretty good. Blake Blackmore at right guard, who's been decent. And Patrick Lawrence at right tackle, who's been okay. And then the other two positions, they've been moving guys around. They started a true freshman a couple of games at center. Sam Tecklenburg, who's starting at center now, is actually a converted tight end. So, I mean, he's not somebody who was snapping the ball with regularity before this season. Right now they're starting a true freshman at left guard. So they really just don't have five guys that they feel comfortable with, and it's really shown. And also the first couple of weeks, they were without Terrence Williams, who was one of the few 1,000-yard leading or returning rushers in the Big 12. And so not having him and then losing Jamichael Hasty, who was their other returning scholarship running back, they missed both of them the first three games of the year, and even Terrence wasn't totally back in week four. But now they have both back this week, so we'll see if that helps at all. But, again, it's just been an offensive line issue. They just haven't been able to get much of a push going.
Okay. Turning to the defensive side of the ball, as explosive as OSU's offense is, the emphasis is usually on being able to slow down one of OSU's wide receivers. Who in Baylor's secondary should OSU fans know that could actually cause some disruption this weekend?
Well, I think both of the cornerbacks are actually pretty good. Grayland Arnold is a true sophomore, and actually Harrison Hand is a true freshman. And actually even at third cornerback, true sophomore, Jameson Houston's pretty good. I don't think that any of them are obviously good enough to shut down, you know, play of James Washington's caliber. But I think that so far they've been pretty good with keeping up. You know, Arnold is a little bit smaller. He's about 5'10", and the other one, Harrison Hand, is about 6'1". So he's a bigger cornerback. You know, both of them are very fast and are improving with their ball skills. So I would say that the cornerbacks both should play pretty decently, but again, the issue has really been more at safety. Baylor's going to be missing their starting safeties, and really, you know, they're starting two safeties, both have never started safety before, for Patrick Bunt and who's the other one? Roger Preciado are both starting at safety, and neither has started a game at safety for Baylor before. So, you know, for Oklahoma State, they're going to be able to take advantage of those guys, in my opinion, all day long.
Baylor has given up over almost twice as many yards on the ground as it has gained. Is that an issue with the safeties as well, or what is Baylor's defensive line like?
Yeah, it's definitely a safety issue. But, I mean, don't get me wrong, the defensive line has had its own issues, especially with injuries. But, I mean, a huge amount of those yards have come on big plays, actually against Duke. All three touchdowns were 34 yards or more, and they were all runs. It was just missed tackles, and specifically by the safeties, because the linebackers have played at a pretty high level this year. You know, I would say that Clay Johnston has been one of the biggest surprises this season. He's been outstanding at middle linebacker. Taylor Young is an experienced guy at weak side. But the safeties have really struggled to tackle in space. They've taken some bad angles, and they're really struggling to adjust to this new defense. And so it's really been the big play that Baylor's been susceptible to, especially in the run game. They've been pretty decent in the short run game, but once they get to the second level, they've really struggled to bring guys down.
I had read something before the season that Matt Rhule runs a pretty complicated defensive scheme. Is it just a matter of the players haven't had enough time to learn it, or do you think he has the players he needs to be able to run the same defense he ran at Temple?
Well, so I think when it comes to the safety specifically, a lot of them missed time during fall camp just with injuries, and Rhule actually said that he thinks that that's the biggest issue, is that when guys aren't able to practice, it really shows in their tackling. And there have definitely been times, especially more in pass defense, I'd say, where it looks like guys are just out of position or don't know where they're supposed to be. But when it comes to run defense, I think it's just been more that they're missing tackles and taking bad angles. And, you know, it definitely is a complex defense, and I think that they've sort of simpled it down a little bit this season while they just sort of institute it, because Matt Rhule did say before the year that he thinks that it takes at least a year to institute the system. And, you know, again, you have guys who are used to playing a pretty simple Baylor defensive system under Phil Bennett, and then even a lot of freshmen getting playing time right away. So I think that they're simpling it down just a little bit, but I think that I think they're guys who are going to be able to be the athletes that he needs at some point. But, again, they're still either learning or they're just missing tackles, and then some of them are just, again, really young at this point.
Okay. So, speaking of Rhule, I know that they've started 0-5 this season, but how do you feel about the job Matt Rhule has done so far in year one?
Yeah, and obviously, you know, like you said, they start 0-5. That's a really tough question. I think that he's been okay. Don't get me wrong. There's, I think, a lot of things that you can point to where, you know, he makes this decision a little bit differently. Maybe it goes a little differently. But, I mean, the biggest things that I look at are, you know, I don't think that the team has stopped, you know, fighting at a high level. Because, again, you look at these games, they've been within one possession in every single fourth quarter of the season. So they're not getting blown out by anybody, whether it's Oklahoma, whether it's Kansas State, and, again, unfortunately, whether it's Liberty. You know, they've been within a possession in every fourth quarter, and other than the Kansas State game, they've had the ball down one possession in every fourth quarter. I think that offensively they're still trying to find their identity, because at Temple he ran a pro-style system, and at least the last couple of years, and I don't think he's going to do that at Baylor. I think he wants to be able to be explosive because the kids he's recruiting are used to playing in a system like that. So I think that that's been an issue on offense, is they just he just doesn't know what their identity is at this point. But I think that the biggest thing that you look at is that I think he's done a pretty good job of keeping the team together. You know, there have been some incidents with sort of upperclassmen who, you know, have issues buying in, and he actually dismissed a couple players last week. You know, when that happened, I think he's been pretty decisive, been pretty strong. But again, I mean, it's hard to truly evaluate him until you at least start seeing some success on the field. I think that the players are doing a good job. They're fighting hard and they're coming close, but until they get some wins, it's going to be really hard to say that he's doing a good job at this point.
I mean, kicking players off, it kind of reminds me of Gundy's first season where, you know, they won five games, but it wasn't what everyone thought maybe would happen after he had to get some of the Les Miles guys out. How much of that do you think is just carryover from players from the Riles era who just haven't bought in on Matt Rhule's system or what Matt Rhule wants yet?
Yeah, I'd imagine, with especially the two guys who were dismissed last week, cornerback Jordan Blake and offensive lineman Ish Wilson, I imagine that's probably primarily what it was. You know, Wilson lost his job to, again, a true freshman, Xavier Newman, who's starting at left guard right now. I'm sure he was very unhappy about that. And, I mean, you know, you hear from some people who have ties to the team that, again, for some of the upperclassmen, it's tough because they were so committed to that old coaching staff. They thought that they were coming here to win Big 12 championships. And so, you know, yeah, there's definitely, I think, with some players, been some issues with buy-in. And but, again, I think Rhule has tried to handle that situation. And again, you saw before the year, you know, Baylor lost quite a bit from the past couple of years' teams. I mean, again, I think there's something like out of 22 starters, like 15 never played for Art Riles. So this is a very young team too. You know, he's willing to ride some of the younger players who have bought in over, you know, inserting some of the more experienced players who haven't necessarily bought in. You know, he wants people at this point who are his guys. And the fact that he has a 7-year contract means that he has the ability to do it. You know, he has the ability to, you know, take some of these losses and deal with it and build from it instead of having to, you know, try and just throw out maybe more polished players who don't buy into the system right now.
Through five games, I know they're 0-5, but what is Baylor doing well at this point? I mean, obviously, they should be improving as the season goes on. I watched some of the K-State Baylor game. They did obviously look better than they did in the loss to Liberty. So what has been the biggest improvement from week one to now for the Bears?
I think they're doing a better job offensively of getting their quarterback into a rhythm. I think against K-State, they actually had a great game plan. You know, they were running a lot of outs, trying to get their receivers in space a little bit more, which in my opinion is really smart. I think that they're also trying to mitigate not having the offensive line by trying to, again, get the short passing game going. And again, for a while, they were doing that at a pretty high level. Defensively, other than missed tackles and giving up big plays, they've actually, I think, been very good, you know, as good as we've seen at Baylor in a couple of years. It's just that big play has been the issue, you know, again, giving up big run plays and, you know, occasionally a big pass play. But I think overall the linebackers are playing pretty well. I think that for how young they are, the cornerbacks are playing exceptionally well. And, you know, they've done a much better job of getting pressure the past couple of weeks with the defensive line than they did early. And that's despite, you know, missing all Big 12 defensive end KJ Smith and losing him in the first game was a huge loss. So, you know, for how young this team is, I think that they are playing really well. And again, despite the 0-5 record. And again, I think that, you know, Baylor, where it is right now, I think they beat Liberty. I think that they beat UTSA. And I mean, I don't know if they beat Duke, but I think it's more competitive. I think that if they come into the season with this team, they're at least, you know, 2-3 right now. I don't think that they're 0-5, you know, because I think that they've improved so much since their first game. And that's going to be the key just to keep that going. Again, and, you know, just looking at the schedule right now, there's just so many tough games in the next couple of weeks because they do play Texas. They obviously play Oklahoma State. They play Oklahoma. It doesn't get easier. And, I mean, so Baylor could get a lot better and still start 0-8. But I think that as long as there continues to be sort of consistent improvements, I still don't think it's too big a deal in the context of that this is a new administration's first year.
Okay. That's interesting. I'll ask this. Looking ahead of the schedule, where do you see Baylor going 0-12, or where do you see most likely their first win coming?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's always a cop-out, but I think that Baylor's playing a lot better in Kansas right now. You know, the game is in Lawrence, so, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not writing it. There's nothing penciled in on the schedule because, again, when you're 0-5, you don't get to do that. But I think that Baylor has a lot more of its identity figured out on both sides of the ball. Kansas' defense is really struggling, which I thought that, you know, looking into the year, you know, before I realized that Baylor was going to kind of be this bad, I thought that Kansas might be able to take advantage of Baylor's offensive line, but that hasn't really happened despite having Dorrance Armstrong and Daniel Wise. So I think that Kansas is sort of an obvious spot, and that's after, again, their first eight games that are all very tough games that they'll probably go 0-8 in. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to, because Baylor has had some games where the offense is clicking and the defense can't put it together, and then had some games where the defense is clicking and the offense can't put it together. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's just one game, and I can't point to one specifically, but, you know, where everything just clicks and they go out and play a really great game and beat somebody who they shouldn't beat. But, I mean, I don't think they'll go winless, but I think that it's probably one or two wins.
I think everybody pretty much pencils Kansas as a win. No, that may be Texas, but...
Exactly.
So final question. Let's say some crazy things happen and Baylor somehow pulls off the upset in Stillwater. What did they do to make that happen?
So I think you point at two things. I think that they hit big plays on offense. You know, I think that Denzel Mims is probably the guy that you look at. And maybe they have, you know, a breakaway run. They're able to run the ball more effectively with Jamichael Hasty and with Terrence Williams. Because, again, running the ball has been their Achilles heel this season. So if they're able to get Jamichael Hasty back healthy and if they're able to put up, you know, 200 yards of rushing against Oklahoma State, then I think that that bodes well for them, obviously in the context of playing an excellent team. And then defensively, I think it's about limiting the big rush plays. Because, again, I mean, Oklahoma State's going to have a couple big pass plays. They're just so good that you have to pencil a couple in. But I think as long as they can sort of keep the run game under control and keep their defense off the field and sort of rested to go against Oklahoma State, I think that that bodes well. Because, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, as you know, if they can't run the ball, then they score so quickly that they get off the field very quickly sometimes. And that's something you saw with some of those old Baylor teams, right, is that the offense would score really quickly and the defense would just be on the field for drive after drive and play after play and would eventually wear down. So that would be the place where I think that they might be able to take advantage. But, again, it's hard to see them doing it for four quarters against this talented a team.
Okay. I have to ask. I think I'd be more shocked than Iowa State winning an OU if Baylor won on Saturday. All right. Well, and thank you very much for talking to me today.
And, of course.
Enjoy the rest of the football season.
See you soon, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.